The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Maybe it's the time to talk about the importance of what is known as infaq in Islam. Infaq is a general term used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, which actually means charity or what we call sadaqah. Maybe the beautiful story in the Quran in Surah number 76, known as Surah Al-Insan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by talking about human beings that, you know, there was a time when time was there and you were not there. You were nothing. You're not even come to this universe. And so first he says, you know, don't go through this path of arrogance. Yes, you are my prime creation, but there was a time when you were nothing. And then he says, I created you. But I didn't just create you just like that. Then I, you know, provided you the path for you to show, follow. I didn't force you to do that. I gave you the freedom in action. It's your choice. Either you become shakiran, you become grateful and follow, or you become kafura, ungrateful and abandon the guidance that I've given. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it seems, wanted to give an example of the insan, the human being who reached to the level of al-insan al-kamil, the best, the perfect, so that we can look at them, you know, look at the highest standard which is there as far as the potentials are concerned. And so this is where he singles out this whole story. And you know that, you know, Hassan and Hussein were not feeling well. The Prophet came to visit them. And he asked Ali and Fatima that do the nadhr. Make a commitment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when he gives them speedy and full recovery, you will fast for 3 days. And then you know the rest of the story, what happened on the 3 days. They were not poor at those days, the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. They were going through very difficult times as far as, you know, their economic status is concerned. And fasting was the easiest part of it because you don't have to do anything. You know, the difficult part was at iftar. And what does Amir al-Mu'minin do? He goes to one of the Jewish merchants. He had this part of his trade was also spinning the wool. And he says, you know, give me some work and I would like to request you to give wheat as advance payment for it. And so he came home and Bibi Fatima would spin one third of the wool and then remove one third of the wheat and grind it and then make it into bread. This was their iftar. So first day, the miskeen comes at the door, the poor, right at the time of iftar. And the Ahlul Bayt, instead of doing their iftar, did their iftar only with salt and water and gave away their bread. Next day, the yatim comes. Third day, the asir comes. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَعَسِيرًا. That they feed the food. Ala hubbihi. The main translation or the interpretation is that out of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although they didn't say anything to these three individuals on the 3 days, they came at the door of Fatima right at the time of iftar. You know, this is also a mystery. If it happened one day, you can say it's possible. But it happens second day, exactly the time of iftar. Then third day again at the time of iftar. According to the theory of probability, this is very improbable. One time, yes. But again and again and again, 3 days in a row. This is where there is some mystery behind it, and we'll leave it for some other time to talk about it. But when they gave their bread away, they didn't say anything. But because their intention was ala hubbihi, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put their intention in words in verse number 9 of that surah. Innama nut'imukum liwajhi Allah. They didn't say that, but that was their intention. We are feeding you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La nuridu minkum jaza'an wa la shukura. We don't want any reward from you, neither even, you know, thank you. No, you know, words of gratitude. This is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then from ayat number 10 to 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes the reward that He has reserved from Fatima and her family. And ending with the item where He says that I have given them mulkun azim, you know, great kingdom. And at the end, if you see, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically as if responding to their niyat, where they say, La nuridu minkum jaza'an wa la shukura. We don't want any reward from you. We don't want you to even say thanks to us. In ayat number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by saying, Inna hadha, whatever we have reserved for you as a reward, lakum jaza'an, this is the reward that you didn't want from the people, I will reward you. Wa kana sa'yukum mashkura, and your hard work, your endeavor here is being thanked. Allah says, I am mashkur. So the jaza and shukr is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that purity. Let me end with a very interesting point there, which actually, initially, I think it comes from one of the Sunni scholars in the past, where he says that if you look at the Quran, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the scenery of Jannah, of paradise, He gives you the picture. You know, He talks about the gardens and the environment. He talks about silk garments and the couches on which they will sit. The drinks and the rivers would be there. The shade and the fruits would be there. Servants, you know, at their command, serving them. And also, Al-Hurul Ayn. Now, what is the tafsir of Hurul Ayn for some other time? But, you know, it's the men who always think about it. But according to that scholar, he says, if you read this ayat in Surah Dahar or Surah Al-Insan, he says Allah has talked about everything. He's talked about the garden, the environment, neither sun nor cold, silk garments, talks about silver, you know, utensils, even arm, jewelry given to them, drinks and rivers and shades of trees and the fruits and the servants serving them. But he says in this entire list, Hurul Ayn is not mentioned. And he says this is unusual. Because he gives examples from all these surahs. He says, look at Surah Rahman, Surah Safat, Surah Baqarah, Surah Nisa. He says, everywhere you will see, all these good things are there, including Hurul Ayn. But in this list, you will not see that. And he says, there is a reason for it. This is out of respect for Fatimah al-Zahra, salawatullah alayha. Allah didn't want to bring Hurul Ayn there. You know, when He's talking about the reward given to Ahlul Bayt, especially where Fatima is the central figure. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a special regard for Fatima al-Zahra. Rasulullah used to go 6 months after the revelation of Ayat Tathir. Early morning for the Fajr prayer, before going to the masjid, he will stop by the door of Fatima. And he would recite that ayat and say, it is time for prayers. Practically showing to the Muslims that this ayat applies to this family. And in that ayat of Tathir also, the central figure was Fatima al-Zahra. Allah has a special regard for Fatima. Rasulullah has special regard for Fatima and the door of Fatima. But what did the Muslims do?
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلى الله عليه.